Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Everybody, welcome back. We're in the open. It's Teresa, America. Today, we're going to talk about relationships and being in a relationship with someone who has a mental illness.
And we do have a special guest with us. His name is Rashawn. Rashawn, we are so glad that you're able to spend some time with us today. So I'm going to give you the floor and tell us who you are and everything that you want to tell us about yourself.
Well, first of all, I appreciate you all having me. I'll keep it short, I guess. Licensed mental health counselor based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Got into the mental health field just based off a personal experience. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder back in 2006. But then also with that, I've been in the psychiatric ward a few times, but then also dealt with suicide attempts. That was my wake-up call for me to get the help that I needed. But then also understanding that people in my community need to talk about these issues, but then to get the help that they need. And a lot of times when I went and got my master's in clinical mental health counseling, even reading the books and stuff, it didn't make sense to me because I was like, how is this going to work when I go work with the population that I'm working with? So I took that book knowledge and applied my own personal knowledge from lived experience and translated it into something where I work with a lot of people that look like me. So I work at a lot in Black and brown communities to address mental health challenges, but then do it in an unconventional way. When I say unconventional, it's not as far as what's written in a book, but I understand what the people need and address their needs from there.
That's awesome. I don't know if folks know this. They probably don't, but Rashawn was actually a speaker at our conference last year, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the most well-attended sessions. And you know, I think that for various reasons, one, that you really are very honest about your experience. And I think it's very valuable to see a Black man who is willing to talk about these issues, right? Because we don't see that enough. And I know for Teresa and I, it's kind of a personal thing to be able to ensure that communities of color, because we both represent communities of color as well, right, are able to talk about these issues and help move that forward. But you also have an organization, so I want you to tell us what your organization is.
So my organization is Eustress, Inc., which is a nonprofit to raise mental health awareness in Black and brown communities. It's similar to my therapeutic approach, man. I do it in a fun manner, but making sure that people can get what they need within their cultural realm. So I host adult coloring nights. I do a mental health awareness gala. I do men's yoga classes. I host a weekly call where men from across the nation call in and we just talk about mental health issues on every Wednesday night. So a lot of different things to get people engaged and then just giving them various tools. So even right now with the COVID-19 crisis, we're raising money where we're supplementing therapeutic services for individuals, non-healthcare essential workers. So people that work in restaurants and, you know, like Walmart, grocery stores and all of those, because a lot of those people may be they may be down to part-time work, and so they don't have the benefits. So we want to make sure that we serve them as well with their mental health needs, because we know people are still going into these stores and stuff, and they're treating these workers like, you know, oh, you're supposed to be here. Like, no, they still risking their lives to make sure that you get what you need. So we want to make sure that we're taking care of them as well.
Yeah, dude, that's amazing. That's amazing that you're out there in the community helping in that way. I know that the focus of today's conversation is around relationships, and all, you know, I don't know your personal status in terms of that, but both Teresa and I are, Teresa's married, I'm fianced up, I'm going to get married.
I wish y'all could see America's face when she said that.
I love him to death. I do. Don't show him that video. You know, but relationships are a struggle, man. They're a struggle, like, with yourself and with your partner, right? So Tell us a little bit about, like, your relationship status, if it's okay to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. I'm currently single. I've been in relationships before and just understanding the dynamics that go into it, especially with living with a mental health challenge. Because even outside of just a romantic relationship, you still have to have relationships with your friends, your family members. So relationships in general can be tough. when it comes down to dealing with someone living with a challenge.
It's really funny because we're talking about like relationships with someone living with mental illness, but this feels like we're going to talk about what it feels like, what we think it feels like to be in a relationship with us, because I'm trying to pretend what all the crap that I put my husband through. And like, we are going to just own up to our crap. Like, we know the ways that we're difficult and how we need support. And I think that's a good place to start.
It is about owning ourselves, like owning everything that is who we are, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. I think it takes a lot for someone, one, to open up about anything that they may be struggling with. But, you know, so something you don't know, Rashawn, is I have a hard time talking about my feelings. It's very hard to do all the time.
She's getting all choked up right now. So we're not going to start with America. I'll start. Right.
Tell us, Teresa.
No, seriously. So, okay, if I just like have to own up to my crap, you know, okay, when I'm at my worst, like I think the hardest thing about the relationship is that I can be so stuck in my head when things are really, really bad and I'm super stressed out that there are like a million conversations happening in my head at the same time. I don't even know sometimes what I'm communicating in my head and what I am saying out my mouth. Like when I'm at my worst, sometimes he's just like, you're not there. You're not freaking there. You're not attending to me. I'm such a jerk in these moments and I see it in myself and I hate it. And it's just a cycle of shame. I don't know. I worry about that. Like, I just know I'm not paying attention. I'm just stuck.
I think even to add on to that, to add on to the point of having so many thoughts and voices and things in your head that's going on. And for me, sometimes I need that respite of just need to be alone. I don't want to talk to anyone. And especially as a therapist, I talk to people all day, every day. So by the time I'm off of work, I'm like, I don't want you to touch me. I don't want you to look at me. I don't want any of that. Like,
that's great.
No, it's so true. I don't want you to touch me. Oh, God, why does that one hurt so bad for your partner? You're like, don't touch me. It's so interesting to hear a man say that, because I feel I used to think, America and I talk all the time about like, oh, men love through touch. Yeah. Like, this is our bias, you know? But you're saying, no, don't touch me.
I'm not a touchy person. Like, we only touching for one specific thing. Outside of that, don't touch me. Like, I'm good.
Really? Like, is that a cultural thing or is it a dude thing or like because of your mental health problems?
I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of all of it. But like, I'm not the holding hands type person. I'm not the cuddle. Like, that's not me. As someone that lives with a mental health challenge, but then also that helps a lot of people with their mental health challenges, it's hard for me to, when I get off of work, to not look at the conversation like I'm helping you with your mental health challenge right now. So, and I'm like, I feel like I'm still at work.
Yeah,
that's one of the really hard parts. Even dealing with my ex, man, we're still very good friends. And, you know, the way we communicate with one another, she knows that some days I may not hear from him just because he's just mentally drained and don't want to talk.
Yeah.
So was that something you had to like communicate though? Like,
yes. Yes.
Because if I was, you know, with my fiance, I'd be like, you ain't call me in a day. Yo, what's up? You know, like that. I think you have to be able to be like, hey, don't be surprised.
You're a therapist, but even outside of that, when you had an episode, for example, I feel like that mental health episode becomes a third person.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes up all the energy to not have that relationship kill you. That's kind of what it's like, whether it's because you're a therapist or you're stressed out because of your job. So people can relate, right? Because like living with a mental illness is like living with any kind of other stressor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Parenting.
Children.
Like, you put people, all of that. Children. Yeah. You put, any kind of serious duress and you're just like, dude, I got to tend to this. And so bye for some time. But that's hard for your partner.
But let's put it even in the current context. COVID-19, a lot of people are home and you have to be home.
Yeah.
You don't have those periods where you can separate from each other. and you still have to get work done. Then you still have to tend to the children. And then you still have to tend to your relationship. With that, now it seems like That's a third job within itself.
Yeah. Mm. Dude, I think you're preaching to everybody that's been in this relationship thing for a while, because it's like, it really does become like a, it's not so much a task, but it's a job. You know, you want to give of yourself the same way that you can give to other things that matter in your life. And you still have to think about yourself, right? But what oftentimes happens, I think, at least in my experience, my needs go to the bottom of the list. And so when, like, if, you know, my husband or something is telling me, you're not paying attention to me, my automatic reaction is, hold up, dude, I've been paying attention to you every single day. Can I take some time for myself now? Can I sit down and do nothing? You know, like, it's weird, like, finding that balance.
Just with America saying that, you know, when your fiance is saying you're not paying attention to him, a lot of times when you say that I have been paying attention to you for X amount of time, they may have taken that attention for granted, for one, or for two. Now, when he's saying that you're not paying attention to them, maybe he needs a different type of support from you at that particular time.
Yeah.
But to your point is, you need a different support at that particular time as well.
Yeah.
So it's the point about being able to communicate, what are your support needs at that particular moment?
Yeah, but it goes back to what you were talking about, you know, like with your past relationship, where if you kind of communicate, right, to talking is like important. We're all like mental health professionals. We realize that, right, that talking is important. But when you're in a relationship and you have to tell somebody, whether it's kind of early on or you're kind of knee deep in it and you're just like, hey, I need these things, oftentimes the person may react in a way that's like, what's wrong with me, right? Like, mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you call me? Aren't you thinking about me all the time? You know?
But this is, you're bringing up a point about reactions. And I feel like because mental health is a stressor, we learn all the skills on controlling our emotions and feelings and reactions. Like, this is a skill you learn in therapy. So these are the ninja skills we learn, you know, emotional regulation. But when you start to learn those skills, you realize how everybody needs to learn those skills.
Yeah.
Because.
And you get mad that they don't know them.
Oh my God, that's true. Yeah.
You get so frustrated.
Like, and it's just, it's kind of not fair.
It's not.
But it's frustrating. It is.
Yeah, it isn't fair, but like, we're putting our stuff. It took me a long time. I'm still learning this crap, you know, where we're trying to figure out how to communicate. But I know something that I do is like, my tone will change. I have very deep-seated tone issues where... I will automatically like get like this frustrated kind of overbearing, like, do you understand what I'm saying? You know, and I am trying my hardest to not get into that space. But then the things that he will say will be like, oh, you thought you were going to use that voice? Oh, hold up. No. And then it like just goes downhill. And I'm like, damn it. I tried. That's hard.
Yeah, I can get into those moments as well. Like Teresa said, you know, everybody needs to know those certain skills. But then when they don't have them, I'll have a condescending tone. And be like, yeah. Bruh, like, you know, why don't you know this? Or my facial expression, it'll be like. And so, and then that could be very intimidating, but then also dismissive to that person. And then they start to shut down. And then, you know, your communication cycle is all screwed up.
Yeah.
We're all shaking our heads here.
Because Rashawn, I didn't even think about that. Like, so much of when I thought about the topic, I thought of the early stages. Like, oh, when your person disappears and lies in bed all day, like, how do you take them out of bed? Or when your partner's having a panic attack and freaking out and screaming on the floor, you know, like, and just needs to breathe or whatever. You're like, what is happening? But you're like, oh, also, what is it like to be in a relationship with somebody who's been in therapy? Because you kind of turn into a jerk when you're like, my therapist said.
Right. Yes.
You are emotionally unadvanced.
You peasant.
It sucks. Look, Rashawn, you don't know this, but Teresa does, that I'm divorced. Okay. So I come at it from like two different angles. And I remember having these conversations in my previous marriage. It's like, you're trying to psychoanalyze me. And it's like, nah, man, I'm just trying to talk to you right now. And whatever I said, it didn't matter because the tone, my face, I don't even know, you know, it would be received as if I'm trying to do something to educate that person. It's like, not the deal here, but whatever. Hence, we're divorced now. So,
God. I mean, so shifting to like what people do, you can't have a relationship without good communication. Right. It doesn't matter if people are like stuck at the worst parts of their lives and like having flare-ups, or they're in therapy and so we have tone problems, but like communication. So like, what does that look like for you when communication looks good?
Oh, man. So let's also clarify that communication is not just verbal.
Yeah.
So that's, oh, no. Eye rolling, tone problems.
Right. Right.
Touch.
Right. So all of those things, for me, when communication is good, it starts with communication with myself being good and me acknowledging what mood and state am I in. But then also, so I'm a person that may not use my vocal words a lot. I will write. So even with my ex, man, we will write each other back and forth. I have a million thoughts going on in my head, but if I can get it out on paper and then sort through it, it can make more sense when I give it to her. Outside of me just trying to talk it out, and then she's having the confused face, and then I'm getting pissed because she's not understanding what I'm saying. But in the back of my mind, I know what I'm saying doesn't make sense because I'm spitting so much stuff out at her. So it's me understanding what is the most effective way and efficient way for me to get my point across to her.
But that's cool. Like, you write and then you share your letters with her?
Mm-hmm. I've done that where we've gotten to like places where we're angry and I just have to like, I have to shut down because I'm trying not to get angrier. So then after I cool off, I can really like write stuff and be like, dude, it's, and exactly is what you're saying. The face that I see in my head when you're saying this is like my fiance looking at me. I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. And he's just like, I that's it. I got two words out of that like soliloquy that you just gave me, man. But writing is a really good tool. You're right.
And I think
I'm not a writer.
But I mean, so even if you're not a writer, taking your time away from your husband and being able to maybe do a voice memo, or, you know, there are different ways that you can still communicate to him, but you may not need to communicate to him directly at that particular moment.
No, that's absolutely true. I really am impressed and I like that you guys are writers, because a lot of people in my past have been like, well, why don't you go write him a letter? And I'm like, I gotta friggin' write. I don't know what the barrier is there. Why I don't want to write a friggin' letter. You know, I have to ask myself that, like, is it pride? Is it, I don't want to see what's going to be on paper. Like, maybe there's something there. Maybe it's just because I don't like to write. But you know, when you get married or in your relationship, people are like, don't go to bed angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Crap. No. Okay.
Not a reality, man.
You know, step away.
Right.
Step away. I've had to learn that it is okay to step away. I have to ground myself, to not do things I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Because if you just push and push and push, forget it. You explode. Mm-hmm. And then that time and that distance apart, it's like to reorganize the thoughts and then come back with a lot of apologizing.
Well, I mean, even outside of that, you know, we still drifted towards the negative aspect of it, but we still need to communicate when things are going well. You know, it's sharing with your partner, oh, I enjoy when you do this, or this makes me feel good when you do this, or when, you know, certain things. Or I've been thinking about, you know, exploring this. Can you just listen to me spew this stuff out and then help me make sense of it? You know, and so it's not just the communication when things are going bad or when you are at each other's throat. It's about what I learned is when I'm able to like sit with my significant other and I'm able to just, they'll just sit there and let me just talk. It'll allow them to get what's going on in my head or what it looks like in my world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
to add to that, or just to reflect on that, the only way I found that the relationship was successful when the third party was my mental health problem, because this isn't like outside of this just normal communication relationship troubles, like my husband like has learned to check in on cues when he knows that I'm having a flare up. So it's kind of like your rat plan where you're like, what are your triggers or your warning signs? And he knows now, like, oh, check in early before things get too bad, because that's the point when communication is still has a hope for like the good, the good flip. And he'll just say to me like, hey, I notice X, like I notice this, and he'll check in and be like, do you too or whatever? And I'll be like, okay, yeah. And if I don't see it, it's a trigger for me to be like, okay, whoa, check in with myself. Or if I know in advance, it does help me early on to just say to him, hey, look, I think I'm being impatient because I think I'm having a thing. And this is what I need. Like this, I need to figure out how to make a plan to make sure that I'm going to be okay. And like, that's the early communication that makes at least dealing with the mental health problem has been so much better, because at least for me, I don't know if you relate to this, then I could put things in their place. It's like when I'm having a bad attitude, it's about the depression and the episode. It's not about you. And that's helped him be able to be like, okay, she's having a problem because of that. It's not personal.
It allows you to take both egos out of all of it.
That's hard though. It's nice to think about, but I think what you were saying, Rashawn, that it's about checking in with yourself, that communication aspect. And sometimes I have literally, you know, like, America, what is going on with you? And asking myself that question to try to figure out, one, how I can communicate that and try to separate it. It's like, I'm super stressed out, I'm dealing with this stuff and this relationship on the outside, right? But I think what, at least when good communication is occurring in my relationship, we're able to not only recognize where there may be triggers and respond to them in a positive way, not in a personal negative, like, well, why aren't you paying attention to me, right? But it takes practice.
It also doesn't like just magically get better and suddenly you're better. Right. Like, it's always a thing. It's always because we are human. Like, I'm never going to be like, oh, I got it figured out. Every time I think I got it figured out, I don't have it figured out. Right. So like 10 years into the relationship, there are good weeks and there are bad weeks. It is hard work. I mean, even 10 years in, I still fail. And then you own up to it and you pick up and you try again.
I think too, though, there is this aspect to, you know, and when I speak to other people outside of anybody that's working here at MHA, right, there is this idea that, dude, is what's happening in my relationship okay is compared to what everybody else is dealing with? And when I talk to others, they're like, yeah, that's normal. But we don't talk about it enough to help really normalize those aspects of our relationship, because it's like ingrained in us that we can't share what's happening. And that, I think, in the long run impacts how we can also relate to others and then connect with others and be like, yo, this woman is crazy. You know, like, I've always said that to my fiance. I was like, please go talk to your friends, because you need to have an outlet, because I know that I can be difficult. I own it.
Well, even outside of you knowing you can be difficult, you still have to also, for relationship purposes, you still have to show the willingness to try to change. Because it's one thing for people, they'll say, oh, I know who I am, and I'm stuck in my ways, and that's, you go deal with it or not. That's the biggest turnoff for me. Like, nah, I need to see you at least putting in some effort, bro. Like, we can work through this together, but if you could just give it to me like, oh, this is who I am, you go deal with it or leave, I'm leaving, period.
Yeah, I've been like, please. Yeah. That's so bad though, but yes. That's also like self-preservation, right? Because you're trying to really do good by you so that you're not in a bad way.
It's hard when you have children though, you know?
Yeah.
Everything gets more complicated the more the more you add to the complexity of the relationship. And I know this is a real challenge for couples, especially around issues of domestic violence, which I don't think we can totally get to here. But like, it is hard with a mental illness being like a third person in your relationship when insecurities and reactions are so high, and then you add stress like poverty, or you add stress like children and responsibilities and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, how much crap can one person take? And that's why it can be super messy sometimes. And it takes so much work, like America said. Like, it is hard work. It's really freaking hard to control mm-hmm. all the things. So if you feel like you're constantly failing at it, that's normal, because it is hard.
And it's okay. Yeah. It's okay to fail.
It's expected. You should just expect that it's going to be hard, because I think some people think that it should just be like, oh, you should just go to therapy and you should learn your skills and be a better person. And then you see things on Instagram with people sitting on the beach looking so serene, and you're like, damn it.
Yeah. It's like the picture of what you think, whether it's an intimate, you know, like relationship with a significant other or another relationship where you think, oh, things are just so beautiful. It's like, dude, that's not real life at all. There is a lot of messiness behind the curtain that we hide away. And the more we're able to like just peek and show others like, dude, we're doing what we can to function and do good by us, do good by the other people that are in our lives, and just trying to manage it. Therese, you said control. Hell, control nothing. You can't control anything. I think one of the things that comes out of all of this, though, is like when you're thinking about ways to improve your relationship, you know, at the onset, it's communication. That mm-hmm. is good. But mm-hmm. also recognizing that what you were saying, right? Like with me, tone, my face, I can't hide anything. And even if like my fiance is like, are you okay? And I'm like, yep. And he's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, don't talk to me right now. You know, all those things. Or like, you know, the fact that we're sitting together, or that you don't want to be touched at the end of the day. You know, all those things are important, but you have to be able to tell the person what you need so that they're not like put off by it, you know, and take it personally. Like, you don't mm-hmm. want me to touch you. Like, what's wrong?
The other thing it feels like it's important to talk about is like, what happens when they're so stressed out about seeing you in a bad spot and they want to fix you or like make stuff better for you?
It's so even outside of that, we're not even just in a romantic relationship. So I had that issue with my mom. Like when I first mm-hmm. got out of the hospital, you know, she wants to, you know, fix me and, you know, constantly checking up on me. I had to have a real conversation with her. I was like, yo, you are stressing me out even more than, but you have to be tactful and when you're doing it, and but then also letting them know that this has nothing to do with you. Like, you've done all that you possibly can, but then also understand that the support I need right now may not come from you. Mm-hmm. And this is no slight at who you are as a person, but you just can't give me what I need in that particular moment or for this particular situation. I need you for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Not this.
God, we need to put that into a worksheet.
No, that's really good.
So somebody could just say that phrase, because that nugget is just it right there, right? And that's part of what the relationship that's so hard, because your mom or your husband or your partner, she's coming with her own issues. And I feel like that's where things get the hardest, is like, if my partner has an anxiety moment and I'm having a whatever moment, like, it's harder when we come together to try and help each other, like mm-hmm. to parse out our own feelings and our own insecurities, and it just gets all mashed up. But like, I love your thing. It's like, if I could just follow a script, and the script reminds us all that it's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to say, and we'll all agree that when I say it, we're going to be okay.
Right, right.
We're going to be okay.
But then also, I mean, even for us, we realize that a lot of times we try to offer help based on what we want help with or how we want to receive help. No, we need to offer help based off of what they need.
Yeah. But that's really hard. I mean, now I sound like America. Like, everything is really hard. It's a skill. I think the point is that it's not something that you just wake up and you know how to do. It takes struggling with it and feeling and having a messy time to come out on the other side and learn, like, oh, this is how I should have done it better. Because I think what happens is the first time someone goes through that bad communication point, they're like, everything sucks and I'm mm-hmm. a horrible person and everything mm-hmm. needs to be destroyed and mm-hmm. we should just break up and it's all just reactive emotions. And like, what you need to learn when you're struggling is like, that suffering is a time to learn how to do it better the next time.
Oh, I got one more topic to throw in here. What about if you're dealing with someone and they don't even know they have a mental health challenge, or they don't want to acknowledge that they have a mental health challenge?
Oh, dude, God. That's a different podcast, man. I think that's super hard, especially when if you're a person that's been working to do, you know, to improve yourself and try to figure out your own emotional state and everything, your own mental health stuff, because you can only do so much for that person, you know, because then it becomes like you're completely like overbearing. It's like, oh, well, you should be paying attention to these things, you know, and you become that person that you don't want to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to hit pause on that and let that person come to it. But I go back to this idea of self-preservation. You know, if you feel like you can put the time towards helping yourself and also being with this person, then that's a choice you make. But it's also okay to be like, if I have the choice, I can't do this, you know, because it's not good for me.
It's different too, though, if the partner is in an addiction, has mm-hmm. bipolar disorder, has depression, has psychosis. Like that period of not, like what people want to call denial, or just like your process of figuring out your life and what's happening for you, it can differ. It's a good topic.
I get calls all the time. Oh, my husband is such and such and
totally.
Such. Can you convince him to come to therapy? No, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's something that's very prevalent because of the fact that we understand, especially as people of color, we understand that we don't necessarily want to acknowledge the fact that we're dealing with a mental health challenge and you may need actual help. So your support group is trying to figure out, how the hell do you make this thing happen? I know this person needs help, but how do I get them to the help?
I want to say that I think what's really helpful about our conversation today, Rashawn, is one, having you on here, because your perspective is very important in that you're also bringing to the table not only the fact that you're a man, which is very important, you know, but this idea of you coming at it from this lens that you're working in this space on a day-to-day, you know, working with people. Mm-hmm. But your lived experience helps us understand too how to recognize our own crap so that we can address it.
No.
Definitely. I say our, meaning mine.
No, but I mean, like you said, though, I think us having this conversation, it breaks down a lot of barriers, because there is a miscommunication between, you know, partners or significant others. When it comes down to what do you need and how do you display those things. Like you said, y'all thought that, you know, men are touchy-feely and all of that. Like, I'm completely different on those certain things. so like, oh, even from the aspect of if I'm in a lovey-dovey mode, my lovey-dovey is going to come out through a letter or a random long text. Or, you know, me, like, that's how mine is going to come out. It's not going to come out, oh, kissy, kissy, and that's not me. You're not going to get that from me. But you're going to get a wordy thing with a lot of similes and metaphors and all of that stuff, and it's going to express the way that I care for you. So, you know, understanding that you got to learn how people love and how people, you know, display that aspect too.
Yeah, dude.
Learn your effective way of communicating.
Having a lot of compassion for yourself and for your mm-hmm. partner when mm-hmm. things don't look pretty, and expect that the not pretty is normal. And when you come out on the other side, you're like a badass. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why we fight in the open.
That's why we do what we do. Thank you, Rashawn, for spending time with us today, man. It was awesome.
Oh, man. No problem. No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, guys. Keep fighting in the open, everybody.